Hey, when you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about those out-of-pocket costs. Now, that can be a lot of money, but are your medical bills accurate? Now, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills actually contain errors. Now, HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, or fraud. Now, you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, to date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Check them out online, healthlock.com. Go there today.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, thank you, Scott Shannon, and thanks to all of you for being with us toll-free. Our number is 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of the program. Guess who I ran into? Jim Kerr and Carol Miller at the rock station, our sister station. And I'd never met Carol before. She's amazing. And Jim Kerr, remember he used to fill in for Rush back in the day? I mean, he did a really good job. I mean, and he's a hardcore rocker guy, cool guy. And I grew up listening to these guys just like Scott Shannon. And just, you know, some of the legends in radio, and I felt like I was in a time warp. I had no idea they were in the same building. And then so Jim Kerr walks me around, you know, the studios where the music stations are, and Charlemagne the God studios there. They actually have like a king's throne, two of them. You know, for, I don't know if one's for a guest or the co-host or
I'm
whatever.
Assuming you've ordered mine, yeah?
I have
my
not.
My crown and all, you know.
Do you want that?
Listen, if I want to be the queen of the studio, I need a proper chair. I need a proper
Well, he's
crown.
Broken a lot of news. I mean, if you can't.
Listen, he's good. He definitely, he's very even-handed on a lot of issues you would expect it not to be on
yeah.
the morning show.
Well, he's doing well, and we wish everybody do, you know, unlike everybody. There's so many people in this business that are so stupid and so myopic and so dumb that they think their success is predicated on other people's failures. I've never believed that. I've always believed the rising tide lifts all boats. Period. End of sentence. You do a good job. You're going to do great. By the way, got to congratulate our buddy Dan Bongino on his second anniversary, doing talk radio. I mean, remember, he was with the Secret Service. He was with the NYPD. He started out on Fox. And by the way, there's all these rumors he got fired. He did not get fired. They had a contract impasse, and that's pretty common in this business. He also has a lot of other work, and he didn't really want to work an extra day a week. He's got a family, which I can totally, completely understand. And anyway, so it's his two-year anniversary on radio. We congratulate him and wish him all the best because he's been a good friend of this program and the TV show for a long time, and I'm sure he will continue. All right, so we have a lot of news today. All things Simple Man Bill O'Reilly, he'll join us today. Judge Jeanine Pirro is on the program today. CL Heavyfoot Bryant will be with us. I call him Heavyfoot because every time he gets pulled over by the police, he asked the officer, you know, can I have your license and registration, please? I'll be glad to, officer. Here it is. But I need to ask you, have you accepted the Lord Jesus into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior? And he does this, and he really has a heavy foot. He gets pulled over all the time. And never once does he ever get a ticket. I mean, he's going to have to explain that to Jesus when he gets to heaven one day. That's my, I'm not sure Jesus wants us to invoke his name to get out of a speeding ticket. Well, why miss an opportunity to, you know, maybe, I don't know, preach to somebody, I guess. All right, so we have a a lot of people are critical of Ron DeSantis' method of announcing, doing it on Twitter tonight. We'll have coverage of that. By the way, Senator Tim Scott is on Hannity tonight. He'll be on. I think Ron is on one of the shows tonight, maybe Trey Gowdy's show. And but anyway, so we now have a primary race. And I know that this audience, we did a poll yesterday, and because I wanted to get your feedback, your input, because we do this show for you. We had tens and tens and tens of thousands. There was a lot of response to our poll on Hannity.com, and that is, do you want me to give equal time to each candidate, regardless of maybe what their poll numbers may say? Because you've got, okay, President Trump, he's now the front runner by a pretty large margin. You have Ron DeSantis second. I'm sure in some of these states, these polls will tighten as time goes on, and there'll be a back and forth. Then, of course, you have Vivek Ramaswamy and Nikki Haley. You've got Tim Scott, who'll be on Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern. I like Tim Scott a lot. And I know people are jumping to conclusions, and they're saying, well, these people aren't really running to win. I'm like, I actually know people that run for president. There's not one of them that I've met that actually is not running to win. They think they are the person. Nikki Haley is running. Chris Christie says he may get into the race, but I think Chris Christie would only get into the race to be the guy that's screaming, I hate Donald Trump every 5 seconds, and he would view that as his sole role. Somebody might want to remind Chris Christie. And honestly, I'm not even sure that I want him on the program, because he's really not running for president. He's running to attack one person. If he really legitimately was seeking the presidency, I would take it seriously. I just don't think he's serious about running for president. I think he's out there trying to make a name for himself and just attack Donald Trump. Let me tell you one thing I can say now that this is in everybody's focus right now. And by the way, we're going to do town halls with all the candidates. Next week, we have a town hall with President Trump. That will be in Des Moines, Iowa. Details to follow. Okay. So stay with us. And I know that there are people that, oh, why are you having this candidate on? Why shouldn't I have them on them? So I asked you, my audience, my beloved audience, what you want. And 92% of you want me to give equal time to all the candidates. Now, the reason this is even an issue is because if I take you back to 2015 and 2016, well, we regularly did town halls with all the candidates. And, you know, we travel around the country. And by the way, you know, it's a pretty heavy lift. We got to bring our radio staff, radio equipment. We got to get a studio to do the radio show out of.
Now you got to bring my chair.
Now we got to bring your queen's chair.
There's a lot going on now.
I don't know. Maybe when Charlemagne the God is not in his studio, we'll just run up to their floor and we'll just grab their.
I am very excited about this idea.
Do you want me to steal Charlemagne the God's chair?
I just want to share it.
It's not a chair. It's a throne.
Exactly.
He said it's like a king's or queen's
as
chair.
As it should be.
That cracked me up.
Wonderful.
Anyway, good for him. So Ron DeSantis will announce he'll do it on Twitter. I don't think that's a bad idea at all. He's going to do interviews as well. I think that, you know, to be a little different out of the box, I think social media is just a force that you cannot ignore if you're in the political business. Most polls for him starting out have him down by as much as, you know, 30 plus points. And he's got his work cut out for him. New York Times put out a piece. DeSantis' strategy is to win over all those Trump voters involving a full court press in early primary states. They are reporting that a key political group supporting DeSantis' presidential run is preparing $100 million voter outreach push so big that it plans to knock on every single door possible, in New Hampshire, Nevada, South Carolina, 5 times in the kickoff of the Iowa caucuses. All right. Well, he's apparently has a lot of money and a lot of big financial donors. You know, I'm really repulsed at how the reaction of these idiots on The View and elsewhere have been. You know, I find these comments. There's two groups that you can seem, you have carte blanche to say anything you want without any brushback at all, without any talk of boycotts, without any talk of canceling, without any talk of firing. If you want to go after Christians or you want to go after African-American conservatives, you can pretty much say any ignorant thing you want. And Joyless out there insisting Tim Scott and Clarence Thomas that they don't understand racism like she does. Let me play it for you.
Well, isn't he Professor Positive?
He is.
Unlike Trump, everything's bad. There's doomsday. He's more in the Reagan-esque morning in America. Things are fabulous. And he's also hedging his bets. He doesn't really go out and say he's not pro-choice exactly. Although he did say, what did he say? That he would vote for anything they put on the table, the Republicans. So he is not pro-choice. And he's one of these guys who, you know, he's like Clarence Thomas, black Republican who believes in pulling yourself by your bootstraps, rather than, to me, understanding the systemic racism that African Americans face in this country and other minorities. He doesn't get it, neither does Clarence.
Right.
And that's why they're Republicans.
Yeah.
So if we're to believe a liberal white woman in New York, Joyless Behar, she knows more than Tim Scott and Clarence Thomas. That, you know, if, you know, he's one of these guys like Clarence Thomas, a black Republican who believes in pulling himself up by your bootstraps. Is there any other way? Is there any other way? You know, unless you make the effort in life, I don't see any other way. And anyway, rather than to me understanding the systemic racism. So the white liberal in New York is going to lecture African Americans about racism in this country. Wow. Imagine if a conservative made any kind of similar statement against a African-American liberal. I mean, what do you think the reaction would be? Anyway, so now the campaign is in full swing. It's going to get very, very interesting, very, very fast. Some reports have DeSantis' war chest at as high as $200 million available to him now. That's a lot of money. Money does mean something in presidential campaigns for sure. And at, you know, after months of speculation. Now, I did ask Donald Trump in my last interview. I said, okay, let me ask you about Ron DeSantis. I said, you guys were friends. I always thought they were friends. What happened? And then he went through a pretty long answer. I'll sum it up, is that he wouldn't have been elected governor but for Donald Trump's support. And I think there may be some truth to that, because he's the one that chose to endorse DeSantis over Putnam, who I believe was the favorite at the time. And those races, Rick Scott's race was tight, and Ron DeSantis's race for governor was tight. You know, those races were won by, I think, by 10,000 and 30,000 votes respectively. And Trump went in hard with town halls in the end. And so from his point of view, oh, okay, that's the thanks I get. I helped you get elected. And obviously Ron's response would be, well, with all due respect, I got elected and then I did a great job. And that's why I won by 1.5 million votes in the last election. So if you're going to give both sides of that argument, it will be interesting. And by the way, for all of you out there that think that I don't hear you, that you're passionately pro-Trump, that you're passionately pro-DeSantis, that you're passionately pro-Tim Scott, I'm hearing all of you. That's why I asked the question yesterday. You know, because our job is to serve you, this audience, and what is the best way to serve you in the middle of a Republican primary? Now, if I had my way, they would be more focused on the damage, that the wreckage that is Joe Biden's economy, the damage and wreckage that is America's position on the world stage. That would be the damage and the wreckage and the danger of a new axis of evil. But eventually, having done this for all these years, I can tell you it always ends the same way. And that is, there's going to be two candidates left. And those two candidates, they are going to be throwing hard, you know, haymaker punches in the hopes that they can get a knockout. That's how this is done. And I'm going to say one other thing. The issues that will impact your decision, two things will remain steady, and that's not in doubt. Elections are always about peace and prosperity, about national security, and about financial security. Joe Biden is not doing good on any of these issues. Any Republican would be better. But the other thing that I can assure you is that there's going to come a point where the top candidates are going to start killing each other. I guarantee you, as morning becomes day and as the sunset signals the beginning of the nighttime, it's going to happen. So buckle up. This is the process that we have. But the real decision is going to be in a little over 520 some odd days on election day. And that's when you have the power to reject the failing policies of Joe Biden and put this country on a different course.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Linda, how much do you want to bet? Everyone's going to forget the poll that we gave this audience a choice. Do we want to give equal time to candidates? 92% said yes, absolutely, on radio and TV. Okay. How much you, at some point, we're going to get accused of giving one candidate more time than another candidate. And by the way, over time, it becomes apparent that, you know, some people just ain't going to cut it. And
well, first of all, to your credit, I will tell you very honestly, yeah. Nobody got uneven time until very, very close to the end. And people started to drop off. You were very even handed.
I tried to be, and we went back and we actually timed out.
I think you're talking about me. I actually,
yeah,
timed
like
out.
For
so
example,
I would ask the candidates not to make this.
You know, at the end, it was Ted Cruz and Donald Trump. And in the end, they ended up having more time. But throughout the process, that was not the case. You know, and then people started dropping out. And at that point, the time obviously went to the people that remained. So, you know, we're going to do our job and we'll do. We have a lot of things planned. Our first town hall will be with President Trump next week. Details to follow. That's in Des Moines, Iowa. I'll let you know about that. And all right. So we have the battle over the debt ceiling. Wait till you hear what AOC had to say, because it makes no sense at all whatsoever. We'll get to that. Bill O'Reilly will check in, and Judge Jeanine Pirro straight ahead.
Sean Hannity,
always concerned for our country,
always honoring our servicemen and servicewomen,
and standing up for liberty every day.
Hey, I've been telling you, by the way, 25 to the top of the hour, I've been telling you for months now about the importance of every school in the country having a Knox entry access system that quickly gets law enforcement into locked campus doors during active shooting incidents. Now, tragically, U.S. school shootings continue with devastating outcomes, 18 occurring in the first 3 months this year alone. And the Knox company has been trusted by first responders now since 1975. And their new advanced electronic e-key technology, well, local, state, federal law enforcement now can access locked doors during any crisis situation. And statistics illustrate the need, the importance for all schools to install this invaluable resource. Now, a Knox entry system can be installed and managed by the school or the district, and parents and grandparents, it's really important that you ask your kid's school if they have installed a Knox entry system. You can learn more about it by going to their website. It's schoolentry1word.com, schoolentry.com. Anyway, so it's pretty fascinating, and it's twisted and it's distorted, which is interesting to me, that now they want to blame the Republicans for the fact that Joe Biden said from the beginning there'd be no negotiations on the debt ceiling. Now they want to blame Kevin McCarthy and the Republicans that, you know, they met early in the year. And then Joe Biden, pretty much every day, Kevin McCarthy was saying, we got to meet. We got to meet. We'd like to get a deal. Let's talk. Let's discuss. Let's negotiate. No negotiation. Over and over and over and over and over again. Okay, so Speaker McCarthy, you know, constitutionally, the power of the purse is with Congress. They did their job. They did pass a bill that raises the debt ceiling. It does have what over what two-thirds of the country wants, which is fiscal responsibility measures. It will return government spending levels to 2022. Does that sound onerous to you? It's not. You know, they're cutting back because we have $31 trillion in debt. We can't even service the interest on the debt, for crying out loud. So they passed a bill to raise the debt ceiling. Now the bill also will save, as scored by the Congressional Budget Office, $4.8 trillion, which I think is fiscally responsible. It also has measures in there to pull back from the draconian, you know, no domestic energy production, Biden policies. And Democrats now, they're upset. AOC is speaking out. Now, listen to how dumb this is, because this is right up there. It's some of the dumbest things I've heard from anybody in Congress. The reason anyone's asking anyone on this stage about what we would vote for is because Kevin McCarthy needs our votes. He may not get, if he makes concessions, he may not get every Republican. And by the way, that might put him in a position where they can be, you know, what do you call it, a recall petition, where they, you know, literally have a basically a no confidence vote. He's been negotiating. He's been begging Biden to negotiate. Biden said no negotiations. They passed a great bill, and now there's 8 days to go, and now all of a sudden they're freaking out. And by the way, it's an artificial deadline anyway. But here's AOC.
The reason why anyone is asking anyone on this stage about what we would vote for is because Kevin McCarthy needs our votes. Because Kevin McCarthy doesn't have the votes. Because Kevin McCarthy is going to the White House without a majority of his caucus. He does not have the what is necessary to negotiate. And for any question about what anybody would settle for, he has responsibility to concede. So if he wants any Democratic support, he has to come to the table. And we have seen him over and over again say that he will not negotiate, that they are engaged in hostage taking, not negotiation, extortion, not conversation. And that is not something we can establish. It is not something we can reinforce in this country.
Okay. If that's a spokesperson for the Democratic Party, they're not in a very good position. What?
Just one minor point. She says that he does not have the majority of his caucus. Then how did he pass the bill?
It's a great point.
He might be the dumbest person in Congress. I'm just saying.
I don't know. There's a lot of them. That's a hard thing to say. I mean, maybe we could put that up on Hannity.com.
Top 10, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know. Top 10, yeah. Here's what's happening. Even the Washington Post is acknowledging this. Democrats they're pissed. They're really angry that Biden is blowing the debt ceiling fight. I'll tell you why he blew the fight. Because he unilaterally disarmed and he made a political calculation. He did not think McCarthy, after watching all the votes for Speaker, one after another, which ended up being a good thing in the end. And they didn't think he'd pass a bill with Republicans. They passed it. Now Democrats are facing tough re-election campaigns next year. They're totally incensed and furious at Biden because they bungled their messaging. No, well, no negotiation, no negotiation, no negotiation. Oh, okay, we're having negotiations now with, you know, 20 days to go. You know, it's ridiculous on their part. Little too late. Kevin McCarthy, this is what he said.
And I don't see how you would blame Republicans. If there's any blame Republicans have, we're the only ones who acted. So if the American public didn't want some, if they get rewarded for not taking an action and ignoring a problem, the Democrats are going to win that award every day. They did that with Title 42 on the border. They've done that with inflation. They lied to us and told us it was transitory. They did that with the debt ceiling. They told us we shouldn't talk. So I'm sorry. If you want to blame Republicans for solving problems, we'll take that blame.
And he's right. You know, and Democrats then, you know, pointed to the substandard messaging from the White House. No, their message was clear. No negotiation. That's what their message was. And they said it again and again and again and again and again. And, you know, now we're 8 days away. And my understanding is McCarthy offered to stay and keep his caucus all throughout the Memorial Day weekend. Joe's not doing that. Joe needs his rest. He'll be on the beach in Delaware in no time. And his billion-dollar green energy school buses, apparently they keep breaking down, according to the Washington Free Beacon. Michigan's fourth-largest school district is having significant performance issues with their expensive electric buses. Man, they are so dumb. Every one of these problems we face economically with energy, national security, our borders, law and order, it's all because of their dumb policies. Now House Republicans are threatening to eliminate funding for new $3.5 billion FBI headquarters. I think they should not fund that until that deep state is cleaned out and the FBI no longer puts their cinder blocks on the scales of presidential elections. And in case you're interested, even CNN has over 60% of Americans want spending cuts attached to any debt ceiling increase. It's that simple. You know, but Democrats now at this late hour, well, we're going to default. Well, it's Biden's default. It's the Democratic Party's default. Where have you all been? The Republicans did their job, and it's not draconian. It was very, very thoughtful, reasonable. So, you know, now we have Democrats saying that Biden must resist Republican debt ceiling demands. Here's what he needs to do. There's nothing for him to do except sign on to the bill. Now, McCarthy wants to give a concession here, a concession there. That's fine. But this is it. You have some of the squad members, you know, out there warning against leftist protesters taking to the streets if Joe Biden agrees to any cuts. So the person that's giving into the radicals in his party, as per usual, is Joe Biden. You know, Biden is now insulting the attempt at the debt limit history. I mean, you literally have during a press briefing yesterday, Karine Jean-Pierre says the president's been trying to engage with Republicans for months now. No, he hasn't. You can't just make this stuff up because that's not what's been happening. Anyway, so I think the Republicans are in the best position. I'd hold the line and let if Joe Biden and the Democrats, if they want to default on the debt for the first time in history, let them default on the debt. That's going to be up to them. Anyway, apparently the Fang Fang investigation is over. No actions are going to be taken. What a shock there. Democrats investigating Democrats. There was one article. This has been a really crappy week for the Democrats. The Durham report, weaponization of American government whistleblowers. Now we have the IRS whistleblowers on top of the FBI whistleblowers. The border crisis, the debt ceiling that they're losing. Not a good week for Democrats. The Biden White House now has poured $8 billion into Afghanistan. We now found out. I didn't find this out till today. After sending Afghanistan $8 billion since our withdrawal from Kabul. Now, according to Winken Tony Blinken, there are still, 170 Americans still trapped inside behind enemy lines in Afghanistan. Why are we giving them a penny on top of all the military equipment, sophisticated military equipment that we left them? It's unbelievable. One House Republican wants to fine Adam Schiff $16 million for all his Russian hoax lies. Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna, good for her. We have an assistant director for the FBI telling Congress yesterday that she just hasn't had time to read the Durham report. Really? An assistant director? You don't have time to read the Durham report to find out what's happening inside of your FBI? Anyway, the IRS commissioner is denying intervening. Now we have FBI whistleblowers and we have IRS whistleblowers. And guess what's happening? Retaliation for both. You know, we do in this country have something called whistleblower laws. I thought Democrats love whistleblowers. They don't really love whistleblowers. By the way, Zero Hedge has a very, very scary article about the real recession that is coming, pointing out that we haven't really had a real one in 40 years. So only those that who work in the workforce back then may experience how far and how fast things that we think are solid can unravel. Listen, if this happens, as all the top economists and financial advisors in the country predict, it is not going to be pretty. It is going to be ugly. Linda, you're going to love this story. Target. Now, I'm going to be honest. You had to educate me yesterday on something, although I did guess right. So Target is now facing a huge backlash. Now, it's kind of understand, especially after everything that happened with Bud Light and Miller Lite and Adidas. I'm not sure why we find ourselves here because, you know, if you look at Target, you know, it's kind of middle America. I love Target. I go to Target. I was in Target last weekend. How do you like that? Surprise, surprise.
It's very strange.
Anyway, so Target is now removing certain items from their stores and making other changes to their LGBTQ merchandise because they had women's bathing suits on men in photos and I guess in what? Those mannequins?
Yeah, in the mannequins, in the store, in the catalogs, in their online, digital, everything.
And then, so I'm reading about it and it says, and it has a special pocket for men.
It's called Tuck Your Junk.
That's what it is. They create apparently to hide male genitalia.
Well, I think male genitalia doesn't roll quite so easily. So I thought of a different thing this morning as we were discussing.
Are you guessing or are you?
No, this is me. This is a Linda-ism.
Okay.
It's called Tuck Your Junk.
That's what it's called.
That's what I'm calling it. They can call it whatever they want. They're wrong. It's Tucky junk.
Okay. New York City public schools now swamped with non-English speaking migrant students. What do you think that's going to do for the English speaking students? Does that help raise their score levels? No. That's not going to help at all. Any place, anywhere, not going to work. Unbelievable times we're living in here. Anyway, the Target CEO says woke capitalism is great for their brand and the right thing for society. Okay, let's see what happens. Reverend Franklin Graham has warning that woke banks and online retailers are starting to cancel Christian groups. I'm telling you, there are two groups you can be prejudiced against and say awful things about. Christians and conservative African Americans. You can say anything you want. Nothing's gonna change that. Biden's DHS failure to vet any illegal migrants ended with the murder of this 20-year-old girl in Maryland. You hear about this, Linda? Yeah, we talked about that story yesterday. How sad is that? 20-year-old, you know, girl.
Killed in her own home, in her own bed, while sleeping, after working.
There is one thing that gives me a little hope. Not a lot, because I don't trust our military under Secretary Austin, but they announced a World War II-style military buildup to counter the threat from China, Bill Gertz writes in the Washington Times. I'm not sure I'm buying it, considering they're spending money on hiring transgender people to recruit military members, and they got Drag Queen Story Hour on military bases. I'm not exactly sure that sounds like the meanest, toughest, badass, killer military on the face of the earth, which in an evil world you need.
Well, considering that the military is focused on pronouns and not teaching people how to fight when their lives are on the line, I think
you and I, we have to work on your pronouns. I know your pronouns are off.
Oh, I got your pronouns right here. Don't you worry.
You got my pronouns. What is my pronoun?
Boss.
Sean Hannity.
All right, a lot coming up next hour. All things Simple Man Bill O'Reilly will get his take on all the news of the day. Later on next hour, too, C.L. Bryant, Reverend C.L. Bryant. We'll talk to him about Florida being designated by the NAACP as a travel advisory zone, or MSDNC as a possible terrorist state. Then Judge Jeanine Pirro will check in with us today. Hannity Tonight, audience show, 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. I think we're sold out tonight, but tickets are free. Hannity.com. If you ever want to come to a future show, sign up now. You can sign up for next week, next Wednesday and Thursday. Quick break, right back. O'Reilly's next.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.